Hello, everybody. This is Dane Gentry with the Standing Back Up podcast. Today, I'm here with author Mr. Jim Marshall. How you doing, my friend?
Hi, Dan. Glad to be here.
All right. I know we got a human phenomenon. I'm interested in finding all about all this. And this is all that's kind of new to me. Okay. Here recently, I've got in some energy stuff like that and things like that. And so I've been looking forward to this. So the floor is yours, my friend.
Okay. Well, I am the discoverer of hitherto unknown natural phenomena, which greatly aid in the understanding of people, from which I created a revolutionary philosophic system called Septemics.
Okay.
And published it in the book, Septemics, Hierarchies of Human Phenomena.
Okay.
As for my qualifications, I'm a polymathic intellectual whose areas of expertise include psychology, philosophy, theology, parapsychology, science, engineering, mathematics, law, literature, history, metaphysics, military science, political science, physical culture, education, human potential, organization, and music. Wow. And I hold a Bachelor of Science cum laude from City University of New York.
Wow, my friend, you're a smart man. That's what I can say to all that. That's a lot.
So let me tell you what Septemics is right away, so you have a frame of reference. Septemics is a philosophical science based on the fact that many phenomena related to humans occur in a sequence of seven levels. Literally, the word Septemics means of or pertaining to seven. Septemics comprises a collection of scales or sequences, each of which breaks down various human phenomena into a hierarchy of seven steps. There are 35 such scales, each of which is unique. And together they span the spectrum of human experience, by which I mean any problem, dilemma, situation that a person has can successfully be analyzed by one or more of these scales, usually more than one.
Wow. Okay. And the seven, what is the seven? What does that mean? Like the number seven itself or?
Yeah, number seven. So you have these 35 scales mm-hmm. and each scale has seven levels.
Okay. Okay. I see what you're saying now. Right.
So let me tell you how I figured this out.
Okay.
Because that really tells you a lot about what this is and why it works. So the story really began when I was 16 and I was accepted into engineering school. Now, of course, I thought at the time that I was going to be engineering physical things, such as airfoils or electrons or motors or whatever. But as by the time I had my bachelor's degree, I realized I wanted to engineer the human psyche because that is the area of greatest unknown, of greatest mystery, and more importantly, the area in which we as a race are failing miserably.
Yes.
95% of the problems in industrialized society are because people don't understand people, don't understand the husband, don't understand the son, don't understand the mother, don't understand the boss, et cetera, et cetera. This goes in all directions. So to make a long story short, I had a long career as a human development engineer, working one-on-one with hundreds of clients for cumulatively many thousands of hours. Now, all of my clients improved as a result of the work we did. But I started to notice fairly early on that I could predict the outcome of the session, meaning I would know with detail how the session was going to resolve. Now, I never told this to anyone, but I made notes. And as the decades roll by, this happened more and more, and I just kept adding to my notes. I came to realize that the client would be at a specific level on a specific scale that I had previously observed. And as a result of our interaction, the client would go to the next level up. Now, this happened thousands and thousands of times.
Wow.
And each time it did, it verified my hypothesis that there were these scales, these naturally occurring scales. So I just kept writing them down. Needless to say, this only made me better at what I did.
Right.
So by 1995, a couple of things happened. First of all, I had about 32 scales by then. I had just observed. There's no theory of septemics. This is all empirical observation. So I had these 32 scales that I knew were correct from my work. And I had one scale in particular that had six levels that by then I absolutely knew was correct, meaning it worked every time I used it. And I realized one day when I was pondering a difficult client that this client was at a level on that scale that I had not previously observed. So when I saw this level, it was clear to me where to insert it into the scale. And when I inserted this seventh level into the sixth level scale, it manifested mathematically. All of these data jumped out at me. Now, the whole point of mathematics is you start with an equation or a formula and you coax data out of it. That is how Einstein found E equals mc squared. E equals mc squared. That's how we mathematicians work. So I realized I took 26 semesters of math. I loved every minute of it, and I think in math. So when something mathematical presents itself to me, I see it. Mm-hmm. If I'm watching a baseball game or a football game, I see math.
Right.
Now,
okay.
So now, when I saw this seven-level scale with all this math in it, I said, whoa, I don't know what this is, but whatever it is, it has to be natural law, because it has mathematics embedded in it, like the Fibonacci sequence. Anything that has math embedded in it is natural law. So then I said, I wonder how many of these other scales that I have are actually seven-level scales that hadn't been developed all the way, because I wasn't developing anything.
Right.
I was just helping my clients and making notes.
And the whole time you was,
So then I said, all right, so let me look at this. So knowing what I was looking for, I inspected these scales. And in a short period of time, each of them went to seven levels. And when it did, it manifested mathematically. See, wow. I have a whole formula there. And then all these data jumped out at me, which is what always happens in math. You start with something and you calculate something. And you say, oh, okay, I see how this works, you know,
right.
How engineers get their data. They calculate it.
Yes.
So then I said, wait a minute, this looks like a new subject to me. It could really help people. I could go from helping people by the hundreds, which is what I had been doing as a development engineer, to helping people by the millions if I put this in a book and get it out.
Right.
You can use it. So I'm going to have to write a book. So the first draft was completed December of 95.
Okay.
And I sent this out in a transcript form to colleagues of mine, all of whom had graduate degrees in a variety of subjects. And they all responded very positively. They had different responses, but they were distinctly positive responses. In other words, they loved it.
Right.
Okay. That tells me this is exactly what I think it is. It's a new subject that people will get. This will help people.
Right.
I spent the next 25 years of my life writing this book. Because you have to realize, first I had to discover the phenomena, which I already explained mostly how it was done. Although I did find three more skills as I was writing the book. Then I had to take this data and I had to use it to craft a workable philosophic system. Simply having 35 scales is not enough. I had to coax the data out of this. I had to work out what the axis of each of these was. This is complicated work. So this took 20 years before I had what I would call a foolproof philosophic system. Then the most time-consuming aspect of this was I had to express this in a way that would make sense to the average reader. Because my intent from the beginning was to write a book that would help people.
Right.
And I know I succeeded at that because you have to realize from the first transcript until today, it's been 28 years. So I've been seeing people get this. People look at this and they say, oh, yeah, I see this. This is cool. This makes sense. They get it. And it helps them figure out their finances, their job, their career, their relationship, their family, whatever it is. Because remember, there's 35 scales.
Right.
Now, I wrote this book to help people. I've had a lifetime of helping people. Even when I was a kid, I was helping people. And let me tell you in a general way how this helps people. Each of these 35 scales provides the user with an infallible way of determining the salutariness or beneficialness of any individual, group, or activity. If the individual or group or activity moves persons up the scale, it's beneficial or positive. If it moves them down the scales, it's detrimental or negative. So you see, I now have a yardstick for human phenomena.
Right. Which
is something that didn't exist before.
Yeah.
Next, and more importantly, just finding out what level you or another person is at on any scale is enlightening and beneficial.
Yes.
Every time you correctly find yourself on a scale, in other words, you say, okay, I'm at this level, right? When that happens, whether it's for yourself or for another person, in other words, finding another person on a certain level, you will have a realization. This is one of the ways that you know you found the right level. You look at it and you say, oh, now I see why my parents don't get along.
Right.
It's because of boppity-boppity-bop.
Yeah, I get it.
Now, I'll tell you something else that happens with this that I've observed. A guy will be reading a particular scale. He's not thinking about his mother-in-law, for example. He's just reading the scale, right? And he'll get down to a certain level, let's say level 5, hypothetically. He'll say, wait a minute. This is my mother-in-law. This describes her exactly. This is how she is. His relationship with his mother-in-law just got better.
Right.
He understands her now.
Mm-hmm.
He says, oh, she's at level 5 on the scale of choice. No wonder she does this, 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 and this.
Right.
It explains it.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question, because I don't like calling myself a dummy, but most of this stuff is like, especially mathematics, you know, I wasn't smart or intelligent. I just didn't like try in school, you know, for a long time. So really I got my education later in life. So mathematically speaking, this is just kind of off, it's on topic, but so are you saying in a sense that mathematics can be used to figure out these kind of things? Is that where it started at with mathematics, or did it just start? Where did it start? Like, how did you start figuring out the scale?
It started with just direct observation.
Okay.
In other words, I would see this guy has this phenomena. All right. And many other people have that too. And then he would go up to the next level.
Right.
So I could predict. And I would see this in session, and then I would say, oh, there's a level here. So there's this level. And then when the guy improves, it goes to this. Then I would go outside into life, and I'd see it everywhere.
Right.
You know, it's like that phenomena. If a guy has an obscure car, you know, like a Sunbeam. I don't even know if they're still in business. It's an English sports car, right?
Yeah.
So your friend gets a Sunbeam. You say, what's it? It's a Sunbeam. Oh. Well, then when you go out, you say, oh, there's a Sunbeam.
Right.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Because now you know what a Sunbeam looks like, right? When you see video, oh, there's a Sunbeam in the video. Okay. So that's what it was like. I would see it everywhere because I knew what it was.
Right.
Okay. But I have to tell you, I went out of my way to write this book so that it is not mathematical.
Okay.
The experience you have when you read this book is like you put on eyeglasses and you look in the mirror and you see yourself better. Oh, I see. I'm at level 4 on this scale. That explains why I have trouble with Eloise. She's at level 5. Those are conflicting levels. See, that's right. What happened. Or you look at another person and say, oh, I see Joe Biden is at this level. Mm. Wonder he does that.
Yeah.
That's what people at that level do.
Right.
Now, look, think of it this way. If you invited me to your home, said, Jim, come over. I want to show you my garden. It's okay. So I come over to your garden, right? I don't even know if you have a garden. But hypothetically, you take me into your garden and you say, here's my garden. Oh, very nice. You have peonies, you have hydrangeas, you have roses, you have tulips, forget-me-nots. Very nice. See? Now, I can say that because I know flowers.
Right.
But if you bring some little five-year-old kid into your garden, he'll look around and say, oh, these are pretty and they smell nice. That's all he knows.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't know about hydrangeas. He doesn't know that, a tulip comes from a bulb and a rose grows on a bush.
Right. Now,
all he knows is they're pretty and they smell nice. Now, most people are like that little kid as regards people. They don't know what they're looking at.
Right.
When you look at a person, it's like, brr, I see it.
Yeah.
This guy's at this level because the people tell you their levels. It comes right out of their mouths.
Okay.
It's not hard to figure out once you know the material.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that is the whole point of engineering. You study science, you learn math, and then you use these data in a mathematical way to formulate solutions to real problems.
Right.
These people are on this side of the river and they want to get to the other side of the river. They say, Jim, will you put up a bridge for us? Okay. See, that's civil engineering.
Right.
So
right.
You're using science. Using science, using math, you calculate the forces, and then you have the construction guys follow your instructions. Here's what I want you to do. So that is how I created this. Now, let me tell you the third step of this, how it's beneficial, because people are going to want to know that. Once you know the actual level of any person on any scale, you can improve that person by moving them up one level. This is revolutionary. I have solved the gradient problem that has bedeviled mankind for at least 6,000 years. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Most people have problems, difficulties, situations, dilemmas, but they don't know how to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is they don't know the gradient.
Right.
All good coaches, therapists, facilitators, teachers, etc., know that human development must be done on a gradient. That is what I did with my clients for 40 years. The guy would come in and I would observe, this guy is at this level. And then I would use my techniques to move him up to the next level. See? And then he would have more insight and he'd be more able. So a guy comes in, he can't get along with his mother, right? So we take this up. And at some point he says, oh, I see. I see what's going on with my mother. She's boppity 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 bop.
Right.
Now he can get along with her because he understands her.
Right. Okay. So it's helping you understand yourself as well as people.
Yes.
It's a double whammy there.
That's right.
Not double whammy, but a double, yeah. So yeah. I see now it's beneficial just in everyday life for everyone. Then
that's
it would make your life so much better because now your coworker at work, you know, you're having trouble with them. Right. And once you see that, then you can understand, oh, okay, this is what's going on here.
Right.
And so it would help you deal with them as well, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So let me give you a hypothetical, right? So you know how to use this. Let's say you have a buddy who's having romance problems, right? Common problem.
Yeah.
Your friend, Eric, is having problems. Every time you see him, he says, I don't know what I'm going to do about my wife. She's driving me crazy. She got drunk last night. She gambled away all of our money. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da. Right? Right?
Yeah.
So you want to help this guy because he's your friend. You say, Eric, come over here. Let me show you something. And you open up the book to the scale of relationships. Now, he looks at it, and he's going to say, you mean there's a scale of relationships?
Yeah.
You say, yeah, there it is. This relationship that you've been complaining to me about for a year, where is it on this scale? He's going to want to know that because right. he's having trouble and you just opened a door for him.
Right. I see.
Oh, yeah. So he looks at it, right? And what's going to happen is in a matter of seconds, I'm talking about 15, 20, 25 seconds, he's going to find a bracket. In other words, he's going to say, well, I can see right off that 1, 2, or 3 don't apply to us because we're having a lot of trouble. And I can see that 7 doesn't apply to us either. That's way below us. So it's got to be either 4, 5, or 6. See, that's progress. He got it down to 3.
Right.
Then you say to him, okay, read the text. And then you can get this exactly. So he reads the text. You can help him as a tutor, right? Mm-hmm. Get him to understand it, just like you were helping your son with algebra or something.
Yeah.
And Connie comes back and he looks at it. And he says, well, now that I read it, I can see this relationship is at level 5. That's not so good. That's near the bottom. The one we're having a lot of trouble.
Right.
And that explains why this and this and this and this happened. See, he's having a realization.
Right.
And you say to him, great. Now, if you wish, you can try to move this relationship up to level 4. And then it'll be a better relationship, a higher quality relationship. But he may not want to do that. He might want to just say, you know what? I'm not going to bother with this. This is a mess. I'm not going to do this. That's up to him.
Right.
Not up to us. Right. But don't think because he found a low level, he's going to be bummed out. That's not how this works. He's going to be relieved. He's going to say, thank you for showing me this.
Right.
Now that I see this, I see this is a waste of time. This is going nowhere. I'm just spinning my wheels with this. I'm not going to bother with this anymore. He breaks up with her. And he'll be happy and thankful because he's out of that mess. You see?
Right. Yeah.
So then you say to him, now let me show you something else. And you open the book to the scale of sexuality. He says, you mean there's a scale of sexuality? Yes. You don't have to tell me if you don't want. But where are you on this scale? He's going to want to know that because he's just been through hell for a year.
Right.
Right? Ah. And he looks at it. He will get this. Now, again, in a matter of seconds, he'll find a bracket. He'll say, well, I can see right off. 1 and 2 have nothing to do with me. I don't even understand those. And definitely not 6 or 7. That's got nothing to do with us. It's got to be that's like 3, 4, 5. Okay. Let's have you read the text. You help him. He studies it. He comes. This happens in 15 minutes.
Wow.
Comes back. He looks at it. And he says, well, now that I read this, I can see I'm at level 4. No wonder I couldn't get along with Gertrude. She was at level 5. And those levels conflict. See, I already know. On the scale of sexuality, you must be at compatible levels.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be at the same level. But you have to be at a compatible level. Well, for example, level 4 is can have sex. Level 5 is can't have sex. Well, duh. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right? So you can look at it and say, okay, she's at level 5. This isn't going to work. See? He breaks up with her. He's happy. He gets somebody else who's at level 4.
Right.
See? Mm-hmm. And then you can say to him, okay, let me show you something else. And you open it up to the scale of allegiance. Because I already know when a relationship deteriorates, any kind of a relationship, it's always because allegiance has deteriorated. So think about it. The couple gets married, right? They promise to love, honor, and obey till death do us part. Then the guy cheats on her. He goes out with Mary Lou, right?
Yeah.
That is a deterioration of allegiance.
Yeah.
His allegiance has deteriorated, right? So you can get him to look at this and he'll say, oh, yeah, I see that my allegiance deteriorated. And you'd say, good, let's move you back up to level 3. And then you can try to repair this relationship. You see?
Yeah.
So that's it. And I could keep doing this. I could do another half dozen skills because when you're talking about something complicated like a romantic relationship, a lot of scales are going to apply.
Yeah.
You look at the scale of control, the scale of choice, the scale of attack. Now, you don't even know what these scales are, but I'm telling you, they're going to apply in the same way that the ones I just gave you. Yeah. So he could keep doing this, and you could help him. Now, after by the time he does 8 or 9 or 10 of these, his mind is going to be clear about this whole area of life. He sees what he's been doing wrong. He sees what he should be working on. He sees what he should be focusing on. And his life is improved. You see?
That's what
it's about. Now, think about this. If somebody invited you to a rendezvous, you would certainly expect them to tell you the exact time, the exact date, the exact location, and probably also how to get there. Mm-hmm. Take the 101 freeway. No. So now think about this. It's very difficult to get somewhere if you don't know where you're starting from, meaning where you are, where you're going, which is what your destination is, or how to get there. Okay? Now, this sounds idiotic, but most people do this regularly.
Yeah.
In fact, there are some people who do this continuously. They just go in circles.
Yeah.
You know, that's the type of guy, meets a girl, falls in love, breaks up. Meets a girl, falls in love, breaks up. Meets a girl, falls in love, breaks up. He just keeps, you know. So he's not getting anywhere. He's just spinning his wheels. So this book solves that problem, because it tells you with specificity across 35 axes where you are, where you're going to go if you succeed, where you will go if you fail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's important to realize, if you're at hypothetically level 4 and you try to get to level 3, you will get there if you make a serious effort, because it's the next thing up. It's the next level. If you are at level 4 and you try to get to level 1 or 2, you will fail. It's too steep a gradient.
Mm.
But think of it this way. You cannot make a couch potato into an Olympic athlete.
No.
There are too many intervening levels.
Right.
You can make a couch potato into a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he's a regular person, you could maybe make him into an amateur athlete. Right. And then from there, he can become a competition athlete. And then from there, he can become maybe an Olympic athlete. You see, there's levels.
Right.
So I've worked as a trainer. If somebody comes to me, he says, Jim, I'm 100 pounds overweight. Can you help me? Sure. I'm not going to just give this guy a 100-pound barbell and say, go lift this.
Right.
Or tell him to go run 5 miles. That's malpractice.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to him, do you think maybe you could walk a mile every morning? And he's probably going to say, yeah, I think I can do that. Okay, so I want you to walk a mile every morning. And then at the end of the week, we'll talk again. So at the end of the week, I would say to him, how'd you do? And if he says to me, piece of cake, I can do this, I'd say, great, let's try 2 miles.
Right.
If he said to me, this is killing me, this is tough, I said, all right, just keep doing it. See?
Yeah.
And after a while, he'd get to where he could walk a mile and he'd say, you know, this is not so bad. I can do this. Okay, let's try it one more week. See, then after a while, he'd say, yeah, this is easy now.
Right.
Finding the gradient and helping the person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what this book does. I'm giving you the gradients. These scales are the gradients.
Right.
So if you are at level 2 on any scale, you can only go to 1 or 3. That's one of the axioms of this subject. You can only move to an adjacent level.
Right.
This is helpful because it narrows the field. You're not spinning your wheels saying, well, should I do this or this or this or this? No. This. Okay. Like, for example, the scale of physical fitness.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're at the level called sick, which is level 6, the next level up is tired. being tired is not as bad as being sick.
Right.
So I've worked as a holistic health practitioner, right? Guy's sick and he's got this, whatever it is going on. And after a while he shows up, I say, hey, well, I'm not sick, but boy, am I tired. I'm happy. He just went up a level.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
He's at a higher level now. Okay. Now we can work on getting you to not be tired. And the next level up is level 4, which is normal. A normal person. A normal person is not tired.
Right.
So, you see, just by knowing this, I know what to expect. I know what to do and how to help the person.
Yes. I see. Yeah. Yeah. But what about someone deals with addiction? Would you think any of this could fit in there anywhere?
Sure.
Yeah.
But you have to realize that there is a reason for addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, there's something called the scale of aberration. Mm-hmm. And it goes through the 7 levels, which take you from being your true self down into being a crazy person. And as you descend this scale, you get worse and worse. And it's very specific.
Right.
So somebody who's doing, he's a drug addict or an alcoholic, he's going to be somewhere on that scale. And you can diagnose that. And then you can target him to the next level up. And he'll be a little better. And so he won't need the drugs or alcohol as much.
Right. Right.
So, no, but something like that, that is a perfect example of where multiple scales are going to come into play. Because when a person gets to the point where he's killing himself with drugs or alcohol or anything else, eating himself to death, you know, for some people, food is like a drug, you know.
Yes.
200 pounds overweight and eats a whole pizza, you know.
Yep.
Like how he processes this. So you're going to have many scales that are going to apply. You don't just use one, you use them all.
Right.
Now, this is all about insight. It requires some insight in order to use this. One of the axioms of this subject is, when a person is at or near the top of any scale, it's because he's insightful in that area of life. And when a person is at or near the bottom of any scale, it's because he lacks insight in that area. So if a person is at the bottom of the scale, he's going to have trouble using that scale.
Right.
Because the reason he's at the bottom of the scale is he lacks insight.
Yes.
An insightful person will be at a higher level. So when you're trying to get a person from 3 to 2, this is a person who has some insight in the area. See?
Yes.
If you pick up a person who's at level 7, good luck. I mean, you may not be able to help this person.
Right.
Now, what I think I should do now is tell your viewers what these 35 scales are. In other words, what is the subject matter?
Right.
Of these 35 axes, because that will tell you what's covered. And by the time I finish this, it takes about a minute. You'll see that I have covered human phenomena. Okay. So there are 35 scales. 24 of them are individual scales, meaning they apply primarily to an individual. And 11 of them are group scales, meaning they apply primarily to a group. So these are the individual scales. The scale of basic purposes, the scale of personal influence, the scale of choice, the scale of permeation, the scale of thought, the scale of identity, the scale of evaluation, the scale of motivation, the scale of control, the scale of stopping, the scale of scholarship, the scale of literacy, the scale of human ability, the scale of memory, the scale of spiritual identity, the scale of mental deletion, the scale of aberration, the scale of physical fitness, the scale of justification, the scale of belief, the scale of equanimity, the scale of attack, the scale of conflict, and the scale of reaction. And these are the group scales, the scale of relationships, the scale of life spheres, the scale of government, the scale of civilization, the scale of survival, the scale of management, the scale of exchange, the scale of communication, the scale of allegiance, the scale of sexuality, and the scale of politics. Any one of these scales could dramatically improve the life of the reader.
Right.
And together, it's a revolution. So let me tell you what I tell all of my students and readers. Here's how to benefit from this. This is a textbook on an entirely new subject. So you should study it like a textbook. In other words, the first time you read it, you don't read it, you study it like you would a chemistry text, a physics text, a math text, an economics text. You start at line one of page one and you read it. Do I understand this? Okay, now you go to line two. You don't skip anything. And by the time you get to the end, you have a pretty good understanding of what the subject is. Then go back to the beginning, read it again. And as you come to each scale, find your level on that scale.
Right.
And every time you do, you'll have an epiphany. You say, oh, that's why this, and this.
Yes.
See, that's clarifying your mind about yourself. And then you go to the next one. Now, if you do that, by the time you get to the end, and you have found your level on 35 scales, you will be a new person.
Wow.
You will be greatly clarified. You will understand with specificity who you are, what you're about, what your strong points are, what your weak points are. But more importantly, you know the next level up.
Right.
So you will be able to improve yourself 35 different ways.
Okay.
So you move up to the next one. Now, let me tell you another axiom of this subject that's relevant at this point. Being high on, by which I mean at or near the top of any scale, is both a cause and an effect of being at or near the top of any other scale. And being at or near the bottom of any scale is both a cause and an effect of being at or near the bottom of any other scale. So what this means is, when you improve yourself on one scale, you're now more insightful. That means you're going to be better able to use the other 34 scales.
Right.
When you use the next one, you become more insightful. That means you're going to be better able to use the other 33 scales. So this is what is sometimes referred to as a virtuous cycle. There's a snowball effect here, where the more you use this, the more insight you have, the more insight you have, the easier it is for you to use it.
Right.
So you can have a situation where you look at a certain scale and you say, I don't get this, this doesn't apply. So, okay, you go to another scale. Ah, this is the scale for me. Okay, this is what I need, the scale of control. And you study that, you find your level, and you move yourself up. Now, if you do this with a few scales, you'll go back to that other scale and say, now this makes sense to me.
Right.
Because you're more insightful. So it requires some insight, but it develops insight. So I have been using this on myself my entire adult life, because remember, even before I got the idea that this was a subject, I had these data.
Right.
Just presented themselves to me and I used them. So I've been meditating on a daily basis my entire adult life. Every time I meditate, I become a little more insightful. And it all dovetails perfectly with this. Oh, I see what's going on with Fred. He's at level 7 on that scale. No wonder he's having trouble in that area. See?
Yeah.
You understand Fred better.
Right.
Then you can deal with him better. So that is why I can absolutely guarantee that this book will prevent or forestall catastrophes, disasters, dilemmas, bankruptcies, lawsuits, indictments, divorces, fist fights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I like it.
Because you are forewarned.
Right, right.
Well, I'll bump into some guy. This happens in real life or also online. And I'll see this guy is manifesting a very low level. Whoa, I don't want to mess with this. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Goodbye.
Right.
I'm out of that mess.
Yeah, that's right.
It was like when I was younger, I have to tell you in all candor, This data didn't exist. I hadn't invented it yet. So I made the same stupid mistakes that everybody else made. I got involved with people who would downscale people, and I wound up regretting it. I did not understand it at the time. Now I have to tell you, in my life, that does not happen, cannot happen, will not happen.
Right.
I look at a guy, I say, oh, this guy is a downscale person. He's at level 6 on the scale of control. I don't want to deal with that. Goodbye. Yeah. And it works the other way too. I'll meet somebody and I say, oh, this is an upscale person. She's high on this scale. She's high on this scale. This is who I want around my life. You see?
Yes.
So this really helps you to select people that are going to help you to succeed and to weed out the people who are going to give you a hard time.
I like that. See, that's big for me, what you just said, in a different way, a different language, of course. You know, someone told me a long time ago, he said, if you want to be a millionaire, surround yourself with millionaires. And that it's exactly what you just said there. It's the same thing. It's just a different wording, in a sense.
Right.
Surround yourself with like-minded people, successful people, these kind of things, people that are going somewhere.
Right.
You know, that was a problem in my early life. I surrounded myself with people who were going absolutely nowhere, and they was going there very, 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 very fast.
You were going nowhere with them.
Yeah, I was right there with them, man. Right. And I went there for a long time, but I finally woke up and decided, hey, man, I'm tired of going nowhere.
So let me tell you something. Let me give you an example, right, to bring this into focus. Let's say you have a couple that's been dating for a couple of years, right, and they're talking about getting married. Wouldn't it be smart for that guy to know, why does this woman want to marry me?
Definitely. Right? Yeah.
Scale of motivation. Now, this guy knows this woman. He's been with her for 2 years. So he looks at the scale and he goes through that process we talked about before. He finds a bracket. He studies it. He says, well, I can see what level she's at. Now, let's say hypothetically, he decides she's a level 1. That's the highest level, love. Well, I call it in the book charity, doing something for charity, which is, charity comes from the word caritas, which means brotherly love.
Right.
So that's a good reason to marry somebody. Okay, great. She loves me. That's her motivation. I want to marry her. But when he does this inspection, he might say, you know, now that I think about it, I think she wants to marry me because I drive a Maserati. I own a 60-foot yacht. I fly my own Learjet. I live in a $10 million condo, and I have $5 million in the bank.
Yes.
That's a different motivation. That's level 4, which is money.
Right.
Now, what he does with that is up to him. He might say, well, that's okay. I love her, and she's beautiful, so I'll marry her anyway. But he might say, I don't want to marry a gold digger. I'm out of here. Then they break up. Yeah. And again, don't think he's going to be bummed out by that. He's going to be relieved. He's going to say, thank you, Dane, for helping me with this.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm paying $20,000 a month in alimony.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, this might be okay for another guy. Have you noticed there are many rich, unattractive, elderly men married to beautiful young women?
Yes. I just had a conversation about that, matter of fact, but yes.
How does that work? So there's this 55-year-old guy, right? He owns 10,000 shares of Apple, right? He's independently wealthy. And he meets this girl, 23-year-old girl, Miss Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Miss Texas gets a diamond ring, a pearl necklace, a mink coat, a Corvette, and a credit card.
Yeah.
The guy gets to marry a 23-year-old Miss Texas.
Yeah. Right?
So for him, he doesn't care if she's a gold digger. He's got plenty of money. If she comes to him and says, I want to go to Vegas for the weekend, he says, okay, here's $5,000. Have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care if she's a gold digger. So this is very personal. There's no judgment involved in this.
Right.
It's very specific. This is human phenomena through the mind of an engineer. I'm showing you what's there. These are the phenomena. Now, I have to tell you, I know K-N-O-W, that these scales are correct. Because I spent most of my life deriving them and testing them. Now you have to realize there's 35 scales, each of which has seven levels. That's 245 different levels. Each of them had to be ascertained, verified, and then expressed in a way that would make sense to people.
Right.
So that's why it took so long to create this. But this is very practical.
Yeah.
That's why I wrote the book, because I wrote this in such a way that once you have the book, you don't need anything else in order to use the book. You don't need to take a course. You don't need to join a church. You don't need to swear allegiance to anybody. You don't need to spend any money. You don't need any of that. It's just you and the book. Now, you might need a dictionary, but I would say that for every book in existence.
I have been
tutoring people since I was 18. I would never teach anything to anybody without having a dictionary handy. Because very often, when people have trouble in an area, it's because they don't understand the words.
Right.
Well, like, let's say I started tutoring algebra when I was 18, right? I was a math whiz when I was a kid. So I asked the person, you know, what does the word variable mean? What does the word formula mean? What does the word absolute value mean? And if I don't get a correct response in 1 second, I say, okay, let's look it up. We look it up. Oh, I see what a variable is. Okay. Now you go back, study it again. See?
Yeah.
That's like a gradient that wasn't there that should have been there.
Right.
So a good algebra teacher, he knows. He has to tell them on the first day. They're, we're going to use this letter X, and it's called a variable. We don't know what it is, but it stands for some number. Could be any number. We don't know. But we're going to use this to figure out what the number actually is. See? Mm-hmm. And then the kids say, oh, okay, I see what a variable is. You see? And he goes forward from there day by day. And at the end of 2 semesters, they know algebra.
Right.
Now, if he skips that, there are going to be kids there who not only do they not know what a variable is, they don't know that they don't know what a variable is, which is even worse. Yeah. That's why I would never say to a student, do you know what this means? Never say that, because he's going to say yes, even if whether he does or doesn't. What does it mean? Okay, what does the word antediluvian mean? And if he does not give me a correct answer, I say, okay, we'll look it up.
Right.
Well, when I say you might need a dictionary, realize in this book, there is a glossary, not only in front of each of the 35 chapters, even in front of the introduction, there's a glossary. So I'm telling you with specificity what the definition of the word is.
Right.
For example, there's a scale of communication. Now, if you look up the word communication in dictionary, it has like 30 definitions. And a person can say, well, what definition is this guy using? That's a good question. So I give you one specific one-line definition of communication, the one that fits the best for this scale.
Right.
So he says, okay, I see that one line. Okay, this is a scale of it. So also, every level, there are seven levels for each of the 35 scales. Every level has a name, and that name has a synonym. So I'm giving you a synonym to give you depth of understanding.
Right.
Plus, the names of the scales have synonyms. So I'm giving you a depth of understanding, plus all the glossary. So I went through a lot of trouble to make this easy for people to understand.
Yeah.
And I know I was successful, because I've had hundreds of people look at this and say, oh, yeah, I'm not talking about college graduates.
Yes.
Anybody can use this. If you can read English reasonably well, which, by the way, encompasses about 1 billion people, and you want to improve yourself or others, this book is for you. Now, you might make the mistake of saying, well, everyone wants to improve himself or others. And I'm sorry, that's not true.
Mm. There are
many people who don't. People like psychopaths, sociopaths, narcissists, war criminals, serial murderers, corrupt politicians, professional criminals, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, John Gotti, the head of the Gambino crime family who died in prison, he would not have read this book.
No, no.
He's not interested in helping himself or others.
Right.
If he had, he wouldn't have been a professional criminal and he wouldn't have ended up in prison, dying in prison. Now,
you're right.
The Carlo Gambino, who the family was named after, he was not a dumb thug. He was a smart guy. Okay? He was not some idiot. So they never got anything on him. He died of old age of a heart disease in his own beautiful home. They couldn't get anything on him because he was not a dope.
Right.
He was shrewd. Okay? He had rules. He followed the rules. He knew what he was doing. He was careful not to step on the wrong toes. See, he kept a low profile. So I'm not condoning that way of life. I'm just saying they're not all the same. Some of these guys are smarter than others.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Like me, I was a dumb criminal. Uh-huh. I was just a drug addict. I mean, it really, at the end of the day, my crimes were small, petty crimes, pretty much. I went away for a long time, but I was one who, had I taken the time, I would have been a smart criminal, I would say, because I'm somewhat intelligent. If I start to learn something just like this, I'm going to get this book. I can tell you that now, because I'm interested in it. Just like in my marriage, we'll just use my marriage. We've came a long way in the time we've been together. And since I've been sober, we have climbed some huge mountains since then. Mm-hmm. What I finally realized was I was pretty much predominantly the problem. Mm-hmm. And so I love to understand myself more.
Right.
And I find so much satisfaction in that, because I find something else about myself, not every day, but a lot now, you know, because I'm trying. And I see that this book could be beneficial in so many ways in my life.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something that I know from watching people use it for 28 years. As I said before, as you use it, you become more insightful. You know, let's say you find yourself on the scale of attack. Oh, that's why I have trouble with this. I'm at this level. See?
Right.
And you move yourself up.
Yeah.
And then you're a little more insightful, and so you use another scale. So cumulatively, you become more insightful. So what will happen is you'll go back, let's say a year later, and you'll reread a scale and say, huh, I didn't see that before. This makes a lot more sense to me now than it did.
Yeah.
And that's because you use the book.
Right. I like it.
So it makes you more insightful. If you want to improve yourself, this book is for you.
Yeah.
It's not hard. And I'll give you an example when I say it's not hard, what I mean. About 22 years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine about politics and government. You know, just two guys standing around talking about politics, as guys do. And I said, I thought about it. I already had written the scale of government. He didn't know anything about this. He didn't know I was writing a book. I said, wait, let me show you something. So I opened the transcript to the scale of government and I handed it to him. I did not say a word. I just gave it to him. So he took it, because we were buddies, and he looked at it. And in 1 second, he pointed. Mm. There, I'm right there. He found his level on that scale without my even suggesting that would be what it was for. That's how easy this is to use.
Awesome. And
the reason for that is it's natural law.
Right.
Now, if you study science and math, you see this all the time, like the Fibonacci sequence. There are all these living creatures that are constructed according to Fibonacci numbers. If you take a sunflower and you count the seeds one way, you'll get one Fibonacci number. And you count them the other way, you'll get another Fibonacci number. Well, how does that happen? The flower doesn't know anything about numbers, but it's been doing that for millions of years. Well, Fibonacci, an Italian mathematician, came along and said, you know, there's something going on here with these numbers, you know. And he figured out the formula. Now we have the formula. And because of that, we can calculate the Fibonacci numbers to infinity.
Wow.
So you look at a seashell and you say, oh, yeah, it's got Fibonacci numbers in it. So it's just a natural law. And once you know about the Fibonacci sequence, especially once you know the actual formula for it, and it's not hard to learn, this makes sense to you. You're looking to say, well, I don't really know why, but pine cones have these Fibonacci numbers in them. They do. You don't have to take my word for it. Go get a pine cone and count it, and you'll see that it's got Fibonacci numbers in it. So that's what this subject is like. It's natural law.
Right. And
I just stumbled across it because of the nature of my work, but also because of my polymathic background. Mm-hmm. Because I knew so much about so many different subjects that when I saw this, I said, there's something here. And so I took notes and I researched it and I turned it into something that the average guy can use.
Yeah, I like it. I love the way it sounds. I mean, again, I'm not on the high intelligence scale. I'm not a dummy by no means, and I understand it already. Yeah. I get it. I completely understand how you go from one scale to the next. To me, it's going to be something very, very beneficial to my life. I can believe that. And like you said, there's people who maybe don't want to use it, but they should probably. Those are the ones who really probably should use it. You know.
Let me tell you this. Think about this. When you take your car out on the road, there's all kinds of signage. You are required by law to obey the signage. There's a stop sign, no left turn, right? Speed limit. So, you know, you're going along, you go around a curve, it says 25 miles. Okay, you better go to 25 miles. If a cop catches you, you're going to get in trouble because you're speeding around that curve.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That is what this book is like. I am telling you where the edge of the road is.
Right.
If you go out on the road and you ignore all of the laws, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. You can kill somebody. You can kill yourself. You can crash your car. You can have your insurance rates raised. You can get arrested, et cetera, et cetera. There's 100 things that can go wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So most people are smart enough to know you obey it. It says 4 miles an hour. Maybe you don't think it should be. Maybe you think it should be 50. That's okay. Somebody made it 40 and you better obey it.
That's right.
That's what this book is like. It's natural law and across 35 axes.
Right.
And remember, no matter what the situation is, if it's regarding human development or human behavior or human phenomena, this book will apply. Now, you can't use it to fix the engine of your car.
Right.
It's a different thing.
Yeah, you're right.
But if you're talking about human beings, there it is.
Tell us where we can find it. Where can we get it at?
I invite you and your listeners to come to my website, which is septemics.com, S-E-P-T-E-M-I-C-S, where you can see what many readers have said, what many journalists have written, what the reviews are. You can read sections of the book itself. You can listen to a pre-recorded introduction to Septemics. And it mentions some places to buy the book. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and so forth. If you just type Septemics into a search engine, you get hundreds of responses, including all the people selling the book. But any place that sells books, you can get this book.
It's awesome, my friend.
It's not hard to get.
Thank you so much, man. I enjoyed this conversation. I learned a lot. And that's why I do these shows, man. I love learning. Especially from smart people, man. When we first started and you mentioned all your qualifications, and my mind was blown away. I was sitting there going, wow, he had to study his whole life to accomplish all that. And that's awesome. I love people that do that. Thank you so much for your time. I will be going checking out your book, and I'll have this episode out fairly quick. If I don't get it out tonight, it'll be tomorrow. I get mine out very fast.
Thank you.
And we'll get everybody on it. I'll shoot you an email whenever it's out, man.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Enjoy you as well. Nice meeting you.
Bye-bye.
All right. See you.